This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're now entering Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. And now, here are your hosts, Roger Morissette, Chad Campbell, Andrew Flanagan, Jeff Machado, and Keith Schmidt.
Come on, girl. Yeah. It's me, Jackie Murray. Give me that look. That's right. Let's get sweaty. Let's get real sweaty. I'm talking rainforest sweaty. I'm talking swamp sweaty. Let's fill a bathtub full of sweat. All right.
Daddy, who wants to love me sexy?
Well, folks, welcome to the Sports Lounge. I'm your host, the Cowboy. So here at the lounge, we've been a little, haven't been too consistent lately. You know, we were once a week for a long time, and we've been slacking a little bit. And when I say we, I'm saying I, the Cowboys had a lot going on outside of the lounge, unfortunately, and I haven't been able to spend as much time in my favorite place as I like. But we're going to try to put a stop to that. Excited for tonight. A lot going on in the world of sports. This is the second part of our double feature. We taped half of this last week. We're taping half of it tonight. This is a Friday night, Friday before the start of Major League Baseball season, Keith Schmidt's favorite time of year. And we're going to continue with our previews tonight and talk like we do. The lounge is rocking. Seems like more people come here now that I'm not here. I don't know if I should take that personally or not, but now that I'm back in the lounge, I'm sure it'll empty out again. But that's okay. That's okay. So, joining me are two fixtures in the lounge. We have our baseball expert, the volatile Keith Schmidt. How you doing, Keith?
Fantastic. I feel like a kid at Christmas time. Opening day right around the corner. That's better than Christmas Day.
Best time of year, right, my friend?
It sure is for me, it is.
Especially, you know, it signifies the end of this awful winter, too.
Correct.
For first-time listeners, we're here in Massachusetts, where there are still pockets of snow on the ground.
Yeah, I hear any ball hit off the snow is a ground rule double. So.
That's how we played it back in the day, right? So, also, in the lounge... Our leader, the straw that stirs the drink. We haven't had he really has been down the middle lately, so maybe we can get some bias out tonight from the one, the only Cowboy Senior. How's it going, Cowboy Senior?
Hey, I'm here. I'm battling. I haven't been 100% lately, but I'm still throwing punches like a good New Englander, banging away, bobbing and weaving, ready for baseball season. Final Four, NBA playoffs. It's a good time of year. A lot of fun. Weather's about to break, and I'm about to break out. I'm ready.
All right, Senior. That's the spunk we like to hear. And I like the bobbin and weaving reference there. So, quick tangent. Senior got me into boxing a long time ago, when I was just a little guy. And... you know, I've carried that on. I'm a bit, for listeners of the show, I know I'm a big boxing guy. You know, watch pretty much every fight I can, have been for a long time. As everybody knows, Mayweather Pacquiao, signed, sealed, delivered, coming to you May 2nd. Senior will be in the building. Senior is going to come to the party over at my place and take in. When would you say the last full boxing match you watched was there, Cowboy Senior?
My God, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Over a decade?
Maybe.
It's been so long. Oh, yeah, it's definitely well over a decade. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I would say the last I remember really being into boxing were like the glory days of the middleweight division with Hagler and Leonard and Hearns and Duran and all those guys. Maybe a little further on than that, I kind of followed the local guy, Vinny Paz, who always gave you an exciting fight every time he went out there. Since then, Yeah, I got to admit, I've gotten away from the sweet science, but all the talk about this fight is enough to excite me. It's one of those sporting events that is getting so much publicity that you feel like you have to be there. You have to see it. So I'm getting drawn back in for this one. I'll be riding with the Cowboy that night.
And by watching it at the Cowboy's house, you save yourself the $100 that the pay-per-view costs.
There you go. It drew my interest, but not enough for me to spend $100 on it. So the Cowboy was nice enough to give me the invite, and I'll be there.
You know, take that $100, Senior, and spend it in the lounge tonight.
There you go.
And Keith, that's an open invite to you too, my friend. Come on down. We have about 20 people or so over here at the Cowboy's place. It's gonna be rocking. We'll probably do something to do with the rounds. It'll be a good time. So, you a boxing guy, Keith?
The marquee matchups, yeah. Yeah, I can't put Showtime on and watch two people I've never heard of box, but yeah, the big fights, yeah, I like them.
So when Senior said...
I wish this would have happened 10 years ago. That's
five years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago, they were both, I mean, really, I mean, they're still considered the two best pound-for-pound fighters in the world, but 5 years ago, they were really, really at the peak of their powers, and it would have been... 5 years ago, it would have been bigger than the first Sugar Ray Leonard-Tommy Hearns fight. That's how good these guys were. Now I think it falls just a notch below that one. But still, a huge fight, a huge event. And Cowboy is on the record, Pacquiao by controversial unanimous decision. I think they're going to land about the same amount of punches. Pacquiao is going to throw about three times as many as Mayweather. The judges are going to score the aggression, setting us up to pay $120 for the rematch. That's my prediction. So, and hey, Keith, when Senior said the glory days of the middleweight division, given his age, were you thinking like Sugar Ray Robinson, Jake LaMotta?
No. No,
that was
no.
My father's prime, not mine.
All right, so that's the first shot across the bow here in the lounge tonight. So hopefully I get a few back at me. I know I can usually count on Senior for that. So enough about Mayweather Pacquiao. We got a month to talk about that. By all means, though, if anyone has any thoughts on the fight, please hit one of us up on Twitter, and we'd love to discuss it. So we're gonna look at the AL West. Good old AL West. Had some news out of the AL West today. Josh Hamilton, not suspended. An arbiter ruled that what he did wasn't an infraction of the drug policy or his... I don't know how that works, but Josh Hamilton, not suspended. So he's recovering from shoulder surgery. He'll be back mid to late April to... help out the Angels, and a good segue. The Angels won the division last year. So order of finish last year was the Angels ran away with the division. Angels 10 games back were the A's, followed by 11 games back the Mariners, 28 games back the Astros, and bringing up the rear the Texas Rangers. Keith, let's talk about the Angels first. I know you were a big you were higher than the on the Angels than anyone last year, and you were proven pretty accurate there. And what do you see from them?
Well, I think a lot of it's going to depend on if Garrett Richards can come back and be the same pitcher he was last year. Their rotation. They got a little deeper. They made that trade for Haney. They traded Howie Kendrick for him. I don't like their second base situation with Giovatella, but I have a feeling you might see Chase Utley wearing a halo soon. Josh Hamilton, he could be the key to the lineup. Because right now you got, after Pujols, you're going Trout, Pujols. That's a great combination, whether they bat 2-3 or 3-4. But then after that, CJ Crone, we'll see what he can do. Matt Joyce, he can hit right-handed pitching, but against lefties, he's useless. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little lukewarm this year on the Angels. I think they take a step back. They get overtaken by the Mariners.
All right, we'll get to the Mariners. You got some thoughts there, Senior? You usually do.
Shadow a little of what Keith said, yeah. I still think they have a pretty good lineup. I mean, I know it's heavy with those two guys, but David Freese has shown some signs of life this spring. He looks like he's banging the ball pretty good. Some of that wasn't mentioned. It wasn't that bad of a guy in part of the order he hits in. And Ivar gets on base and can run like the wind. I think he's a good offensive player. And Calhoun looks like he could be one of those nice table setters guys, too. And Pujols really looks good. You know, I'm not saying he's Pujols of 5 years ago, but he had a very good year last year, and there's no reason to think he can't repeat it or maybe even do a little better. And
yeah, you can lock him in for 30 and
that's the best player in baseball. And they have a decent rotation, especially if Richards comes back. The top three with Richards, Weaver, and C.J. Wilson are good. And then Shoemaker and me at the back end, I'm bad. So, and the bullpen's decent, anchored by off and on kind of somewhat inconsistent closer Houston Street, but the rest of the bullpen's pretty good. So I think they're still a good, solid team. I'm not going to give you my prediction now, but they're certainly a contender in this division, no doubt about it. A lot of experience, a lot of guys that know how to win. The best player in baseball, who is still a young player and may still be even getting better in Trout. So they have a lot of good parts. I mean, if Josh Hamilton can come back and be more than he was last year, I mean, and be anything close to what, even be a 20-home-run guy that hits 275 with 20 home runs, which if Hamilton does come back, he can do that kind of thing. And, yeah, I mean, the Angels certainly are a team you have to talk about when you talk about the division. This division, they have to be one of the teams you certainly consider to be a contender to win it.
Yeah. I like their lineup too, Senior. I think it's a good lineup. I'm really down on their staff, though. Richards is fantastic. I mean, even with him at full strength, C.J. Wilson took Keith, you can correct me here, fact check. I mean, took a pretty big step back last year. I mean, he was pretty bad last year. I know he dealt with some injuries, but I mean he's no spring chicken, so you know it is possible that he's cooked or close to cooked. And I don't with Weaver, it's just like the peripheral numbers are always not very good, and you expect some regression from him. And I just feel like the bottom's going to fall out there one of these years. And it could be the year. So their staff scares me quite a bit. But for lineup purposes, I think they do. They have a good lineup, and if they can piece together decent pitching, they can certainly contend. What do you think of Wilson, Keith? Do you think that was a fair assessment there?
Well, definitely last year was the worst year he's had in a long time. His ERA was like 4.5. You know, but he still won 13 games. He threw 175 innings, so... You know, as long as the one thing you can pretty much count on with him, he's going to eat innings. So, as a matter of fact, he I think he had an injury last year because this is the first time in 5 years he hasn't thrown 200 innings.
He was definitely, he was hurt for a while last year, and then I think he pitched hurt, if I remember correctly, for a little while.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, as a number three pitcher, you know, he's you could do worse.
Right.
That's all I feel.
Possibility. The possibility is certainly there that he's better than last year, too.
Yeah. So last year I mean, you know, his ERA went up quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, it was like three quarters of a run higher than it was, you know, the previous 5 years. So. But, I could see him right around, you know, a 4 ERA. But if the lineup does what it is capable of doing, then, you know, that'll win some games.
Absolutely. All right, next up, Oakland A's. The disappointing Oakland A's. You know, we applauded Mr. Bean on here, right, for going balls to the wall like he did. And you got to say, it didn't really work out Great.
No, it didn't. He put all his cards, you know, all his chips in the middle of the table, and he crapped out there. But, I mean, then he reworked this entire roster. I'm not going to count out the A's at any time. That guy, it seems like everything he touches turns to gold. So we'll see. I mean, if Brett Lowry played 150 games this year, it wouldn't shock me. It really wouldn't. You know, just because he's on that A's team. That trade with Josh Donaldson, they got Lowry, which obviously that's not even a close comparison. Donaldson's a much better player. But that kid, Kendall Graveman, he opened my eyes this spring. He looks like the real deal. What else did they do? Let's see. Billy Butler, they picked up Butler. They got Ike Davis. It's just going to be a scrappy team, you know, with Ben Zobrist. You're going to have Zobrist, Butler probably batting 3-4. Ike Davis, I mean, he's probably going to hit 230, 240, but he's capable of hitting 25 home runs. Voit's not a bad hitting catcher against right-handed pitching. I don't know what they'll do against the lefties, but... And that kid Marcus Semien they got from the White Sox, he was a pretty highly touted prospect, so we'll see what happens there. But I'm betting he's kicking himself for the Samardzija for Addison Russell trade, because he would be their starting shortstop right now. And I think he's a better player than Semien. But their rotation, Sonny Gray, Kazmir, that's pretty solid at the top. Jesse Hahn, we'll see about that, but... that kid Graveman, I like him, and Pomerantz is pretty good. They got a couple guys going to end up coming back later on, Jared Parker and A.J. Griffin. So, and the bullpen's pretty solid. So, I think Oakland will be in the thick of it. But I give them just as good of a chance as Anaheim. How's that?
Senior.
Well, you know, it's a really different team, obviously. You really overhauled it. From last year, you looked at that middle of that order last year, and it's all gone. You know, you had some real beef in the middle of the order with Donaldson and Cespedes and the catcher, Norris, who really provided some punch to their lineup, and that's all gone now.
Brandon
now, like a lineup that's going to be more of a typical old A's team that has to kind of scrap to score runs. I know I'm hearing that Coco's got something going on that he's going to be out for a while, like 5 or 6 weeks or something. That's going to really hurt him.
6 to 8 week surgery on his elbow.
And Fold, Gentry, Reddick. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of offense out of that outfield. I mean, not to mention that you miss Coco's defense, too, because, you know, as a Sox fan who remembers seeing him play every day for a few years, is. I mean, nobody plays any better a center field than Coco. He's a really, really good center fielder and a good offensive player. So they got a lot missing there. You know, I mean, there's guys you like, you know. You can't help but like a guy like Ben Zobrist, who is just a gamer and tends to stick that big hit in there. And that's the kind of thing this team's going to have to do. They're going to have to scrap, put some runs, put a few runs up, and count on their pitching, which could be really, really good again. Sonny Gray at the top of the rotation, a great young starter. Kazmir had an incredible year last year. Whether he can repeat that again, I don't know. But he was reborn last year and had a great year. He talked about the kid Graveman and the other Hahn and Pomerantz who are okay, but you got guys like Parker and Griffin who are going to come back, who've proven they can throw. And once Doolittle comes back to be the closer, now you put Clifford back in the setup role, and the bullpen's good. So it's going to be more of a typical A's team that's going to pitching, scratch and claw for a few runs and try to win games, as opposed to the team that had that pop in the middle of the order last year that's gone. So, yeah, I mean, no, definitely never count them out, because somehow these Billy Beane teams always somehow overachieve. And so, yeah, again, you know, calling the A's a contender in this division is what you always have to do, no doubt about it, especially any team with the potential pitching staff that they have certainly has to be considered a contender.
So, Keith, I want to talk more about the big offseason move. Really didn't make sense to me. I mean, Donaldson is a top 15, top 20 player in the major leagues, right? I mean, it's
I think that's pretty
fair, right? I mean, one of the top three third basemen in the league. I think you can say that pretty fairly. What do you think? What do you think their thought process was there? Because neither one of you guys really killed the move, and just it. I mean, I have trouble, but the A's are sort of like the Patriots, I guess, in some ways. I have trouble seeing how a team that's can win now makes that move.
Well, again, this 10 years from now, this might not be known as the Josh Donaldson trade. It might be the Kendall Graveman trade. Have you seen him pitch yet?
I have. He looks fantastic.
He went from, I think, single A ball last year to the major leagues. This kid's the real deal. This kid can pitch. So, I mean, Billy Bean, you got to give something to get something, right? Now, Donaldson, I'm not sure what his contract status is, how many years of arbitration he's got left, but he's probably going to price himself out of Oakland's market. So they get this under-control pitcher. They have him for the next 6 years. And Lowry's not, a terrible replacement. So I think that's why he did it. It was all about this pitcher.
Do you think Lowry...
And they got other pitchers, too.
Do you think Lowry...
In that trade, I mean.
I mean, Lowry was a huge prospect. Huge, right? Like top five prospect. Do you think getting out of Toronto, getting into Oakland, it's a place where they seem to get the most out of the talent that guys have.
Yep.
Do you see some possible like post-type sleeper-type potential with him having a later career breakout?
I could definitely see that happening. And like I said, I was kind of half-heartedly joking about it, but everything Billy Bean touches seems to turn to gold. So, like I said, Lowry's biggest problem was always hurt. When he's actually on the field, he's a productive player. So that's why I'm saying they can get 140, 150 games out of him, he could put up some numbers. Now, he's not going to put up the numbers Donaldson did. But if you factor that in with the pitching, it's a win-win for both sides, I think.
Yeah, I think if Lowry, and again, he's not going to do what Donaldson did, but if he can stay healthy, he has, 25 home run, 80 RBI potential, right? I mean, I think I can safely say that. He can do something like that, and Billy Butler has a bounce back. Well, now you have an actual middle of the order. Because looking at him on paper, they don't have a middle of the order right now. Reddick, he's got some power, but at what cost? And
I think he's more of a platoon player to me. I mean, he had that one year where he hit, 35 home runs, but I don't know. I don't see him repeating that ever again.
Right. But,
well, and the other thing with Lowry, I'm pretty sure he plays a pretty good defensive third base, too. So,
always important.
An upgrade over Donaldson, defensively, not offensively.
Right, next
but
up,
I see a big bounce back from Billy Butler this year. He's going to hit more than 9 home runs, let's put it that way.
He should. If he can bounce back to what, just kind of his career averages, that's a great get for them. It's a really, really good get for them because he's really a professional hitter, It's just...
He's not going to hit 30 home runs, but I could see him hitting 15 home runs but still driving in 100.
Right, well, he's got that Mauer-type potential, right, where if he's hitting 15 home runs, the average and the RBIs are there. But you can't have, single-digit home runs is tough. It's tough to swallow from those positions. So, excellent. So, moving on. Team that Keith mentioned earlier, Seattle Mariners. We'll let Senior lead off here.
Well, you got to really, really like this team. I mean, the pitching rotation is where you start when you talk about the Mariners, no doubt about it. You got to start in the starting rotation. Talk about their starting rotation. You have to start at the top with King Felix, who is as good as there is in baseball, period. I mean, if there wasn't a guy named Kershaw in the other league, you might call him the best pitcher in baseball. And if he is behind Kershaw, it's not by much. I mean, King Felix is absolutely as good as it gets, and it's a really good rotation behind him. Iwakuma is really solid. Young James Paxton looks really good. And then there's this X factor at the bottom of their rotation, this kid Taiwan Walker, just an incredible athlete, basketball player, football player. You watch him on the mound, and that's what he looks like, just an absolute beast. He's got great stuff. He looks like he could be a frontline pitcher within a couple of years, just get him some experience. So that starting rotation is just really, really, really good. And the rest of the lineup now is much more imposing than it was a couple of years ago, certainly. Robbie Cano, one of the premier hitters in the game, anchoring the lineup. Kyle Seager, up and coming, another good middle-of-the-order hitter. Nelly Cruz coming off just an incredible year last year in Texas. They went out and got him. Young catcher with a lot of pop, Mike Zunino. I mean, Dustin Ackley, a good young hitter. And Austin Jackson added in center field, not only a good center fielder, but a really good leadoff man who can really run the bases and set the table. I mean, it's not a park that's built to hit a lot of home runs. And so, and Seth Smith, another really good hitter in right field, but I mean, I know it's a pitcher's park, and this team is certainly built around the pitching staff, but they're going to be able to support the staff with some runs. And all in all, you put it all together. One question mark, it's a shaky part of the team, is probably Fernando Rodney is about as shaky a closer as there is in baseball. He's a heart attack closer, but besides that, you look at this team as a whole, and I see them. I talked about the Angels being a contender, the A's being a contender, but you look at this rotation and what they've added in the lineup to go with it, and with a young kid like Walker, who I think is going to come on like gangbusters in that rotation. And they're certainly the odds-on favorite to win this division. There's no doubt about it. Seattle is the team to beat in the West.
I agree. I agree with everything you said. This is definitely my favorite team in the West, possibly in the American League, period. I don't know if the owner of the Mariners listens to the Sports Lounge, but if you guys remember last year at the deadline, I said they need a leadoff hitter and a power hitter, right-handed power hitter behind Cano. And they went out and traded for Jackson and then signed Nelly Cruz. So maybe he's a listener. I don't know. But you're absolutely right about the rotation. And Taiwan Walker, he might be listed as their number five. My opinion, he's at least their number three. Possibly even by the end of the year, might even turn out to be a better pitcher than Iwakuma.
Wow.
This I'm telling you, this kid is nasty. Filthy stuff. He's the reason why they traded Michael Pineda 2 years ago. They knew they had this kid coming, and Paxton. But I'm telling you, man, watch this kid pitch. If you haven't seen it yet, he's a treat. He's a special, special pitcher. Kyle Seager at third base, like you said, Raj, he's only going to get better. I mean, he hit, 25 homers, almost drove in 100 last year. They signed him to a $100 million deal. He's a pretty good hitter. That 3-4-5, Cano, Nelson Cruz, Kyle Seager, that's no joke. I think the other teams in the West are going to be looking up at the Mariners all year. And by the way, that heart attack closer, Rodney, he led the league in saves last year with 48. And they also have two other guys in that bullpen with closing experience, if he were to falter, Farquhar and Wilhelmsen. So I think their bullpen will be all right.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement here on paper. They look very formidable. Cruz has been really, Cruz has taken what he did last year, and it's carried right over into spring. He's raking in spring. You got to think the pitcher's ballpark there will knock a little bit off his home run total. I don't think with him it's going to be as pronounced as it was with Cano, given that,
no.
Cano... got his share of fair share of cheap home runs in Yankee Stadium. Well,
Cano hits line drives. You know, when he hits home runs, they're line drives. They're not high and
right.
Arcing.
That's exactly what Nelly I was
Cruz
say.
Can hit.
Keith hit, Nelly Cruz hits a lot of no doubters.
That's it.
So, I think it's a great get for them, and it didn't cost him that much for Nelly Cruz. Perfect cleanup hitter for him. So I'm in agreement here that on paper they look tough. They look tough. I mean, a little, you know, only question mark is behind Iwakuma and the staff. You know, Walker's unproven, right? So we'll see. And Paxton was good when he pitched last year, but he's hurt for a lot of last year. And J.A. Happ's a bum. So they need they need Walker to be as good as you're saying he is, Keith.
My prediction, Taiwan Walker this year is Sonny Gray. I don't know if they'll let him throw 200 innings, but he's going to be that good.
All right. So those three teams were the class of the division last year. Now we'll talk about the caboose. Starting with the Houston Astros. Senior, we gave Keith two in a row. You do two in a row. I'll cover the Rangers.
The good old Houston Astros, the gift to the American League last year. You know, them being in that division last year, kind of, we said it going into the season, you can give the teams in that division a better chance to get the wild card because they get to play them that often. But, I mean, they've gotten a little better. You know, they're still not very good. I mean, I don't like their pitching very much besides Keuchel. You know, he looks like a good young pitcher. Other than that, you know, this guy's like, you know, Feldman has always been kind of Feldman, you know, a guy that should be the fifth starter on the team, and I think he's their opening day starter. Dan Straley, a very ordinary guy. McHugh, okay. I mean, really not much in the pitching department, and they're not helped by that park, which, especially for right-handed hitters, is just a ridiculously easy home run park. They got some nice pieces in their lineup, some good young, talented players. Georgie Springer is a five-tool player who was real exciting to watch. So at least they got something for the fans to come out and see. And little Jose Altuve is a heck of a ball player. Chris Carter is... yeah, he's going to hit us, especially in that park. He's going to hit his home runs, but he's your classic home runner or strikeout type hitter. You know, certainly the sabermetricians, I'm going to like him too much. Yeah, I mean, a guy like Gattis, again, put him in that park, and he might hit 30 home runs over there, but they're going to give up so many runs that how much is that going to matter, you know? There's really not that much to like about this team. You know, the other basement dwellers, the two Texas teams, there's clearly a separation in this division, okay? We all consider there's Seattle up there, and then you got the two contenders behind them, California and Oakland, or Anaheim and Oakland, and then the two Texas teams who aren't even in the same solar system as these teams. You know that they finished 4-5, there's no doubt. The only good thing you can say if you're a Houston fan is you go over there, you're going to see some home runs hit, partially because of the park. And the best thing you can say about going to see them is, you know, we're going to get to watch Georgie Springer, the UConn kid, develop. I mean, just a tremendous talent. Sky's the limit on how good he's going to be. But they're going to give up so many runs. Yeah. I don't see much hope for this team. Now, maybe one of you guys is going to be a little more optimistic than me, but that's basically it.
I'll jump in here. Thanks, Senior. Yeah, I mean, I don't see them as being quite as doom and gloom as you do. If you guys hear the squeaking in the background, my dog is chewing on his nice stuffed shark that squeaks that I got him. So. Thanks, Lincoln, for your contribution to the podcast. So I think their staff's better than what you're giving them credit for. I mean, Feldman had an ERA under 4 last year. I don't think he's a bad pitcher at all. I think you're really underselling McHugh. McHugh was really good when he came up, and he did it for the whole season, and basically. And I mean, you said Keuchel is a good young pitcher. He's a good young lefty. And, I mean, that's three quality starters. And, I mean, the other teams we looked at, I mean, the A's have three quality starters. The Mariners might have three quality starters. The Angels might have three quality starters. I think the rotation stacks up with the other rotations in the division outside of Oakland. And I like the moves they made. I mean, they're in a, to your point, they're in a home run park. And I think you undersold Gattis a little bit. I mean, he's got real power. He has real legit power. I think he could, if things break the right way, he could hit 40 home runs in that park. Carter has real power. George Springer has real power. I mean, this could be a good lineup. Jed Lowry is a good hitter at shortstop. Altuve is one of the best offensive second basemen in baseball. I'm not saying they're necessarily a playoff team, but I think they're going to be dramatically improved from last year. And they were better last year than people thought they were going to be. I mean, there were, you know, you have everything you read, and I got everything we talked about, thought they might win 50 games or something. I mean, they were not that bad, and I feel like they're markedly improved, and that they have a legit shot to be a 500 ball club. Keith, where do you fall on this?
I'm in more agreement with you, Cowboy, on this one. I'm not going to say they're going to contend this year, but they like you said, they got some good young talent. I mean, that shortstop kid's coming up pretty soon, Carlos Correa, and don't forget the number one pick from a few years ago, Mark Appel. He'll probably join the staff this year. So with the pitching staff, Keuchel, Feldman's. He's probably a number three pitcher. McHugh could be a number three. Keuchel's legit. He's definitely legit. As far as the power, this team, in my opinion, is going to lead the league in home runs, but they're also going to lead the league in strikeouts.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they are. You know, Chris Carter, Gattis. Even Springer to a certain extent.
I don't, not even to a certain extent. I mean, Springer strikes out a lot.
He does. But he's got speed in his game, though. Where the other two, it's either they hit it over the wall or they're up. You know, Springer could beat out infield singles. You know, he could put one in a gap and you know, run triples. And that kid Valbuena at third base, he's another one that's got some power.
Well, he definitely has some
another
power.
Another guy that strikes out a lot, but Jed Lowry. But, you know, up the middle, they're solid. Lowry and Altuve. Mariznick, I don't know about his bat, but he's definitely a good defensive center fielder. He's the reason Spring isn't right. So I think this team will be interesting to watch, but maybe not this year. Next year, they'll start to contend if they make the right moves. That's my feeling on Houston.
Yeah. What do you think about the way they've built this? Where they intentionally went way into the tank. Way into the tank for a couple of years. And now as the prospects are coming up, they're signing reasonably priced veterans, free agents. So they're always fiscally conscious with a ton of young talent surrounding them with some veterans. I'd rather do this and bottom out than settle for constant mediocrity.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like look at like the Phillies, like what they're doing. You know, I mean, I like what the Astros have done, and I mean, I think, you know, that the fans, if they're knowledgeable fans, they're smart enough to know what's going on. So.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Rays, when they used to be the Devil Rays. And they sucked for a long time. They just stockpiled all those first-round picks, those number one picks, you know, Longoria and Matt Moore and Kazmir and who the hell, David Price. But Houston, it seems like, I don't know if the pitching is caught up with all the position players, but, you know, Springer, Altuve, I'm not sure if Carter came up through their system, but They got another first baseman, John Singleton, with a lot of promise.
And they locked Singleton up long term last year.
Yeah.
Which is real, you know, it's not something you see all the time. Kind of like what they did with Trout on a smaller level, of course.
Right.
But I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but that Carlos Correa, I can't wait to see him.
Also have to say that to somewhat they designed the team after the whole ballpark, which I'll give them credit for being smart there. You know, you play in that park, you want to have right-handed power. It's kind of like having left-handed power in Yankee Stadium. You know, it just makes all the sense in the world. And they do have a lot of right-handed power, so that's sensible.
Yeah.
Right, and last and probably least, your Texas Rangers. So I'm up here. So this part of the equation that you laid out for us there, Senior, about the Texas teams, I do agree. It's tough sledding over there for the Rangers. You know, they can't seem to catch a break injury-wise. They're pitching. You know, if there was one staff in the league that couldn't afford to lose you Darvish, this was it, right?
Yeah.
I like that they brought in Gallardo. Gallardo is a good pitcher, and they would be completely up Schitt's Creek if they didn't have him. But really hurts losing you Darvish, and they seem to have just a mix of, you know, prospects that haven't really worked out with veterans who maybe are one or two years past their prime with injuries. It's tough to see a path for them that doesn't include like three or four guys hitting like it's 2008 again, a path for them out of the basement here. You know, I've watched Fielder. Everyone has a lot of hope that Fielder is going to be back, and he might be. He hasn't shown a lot of power so far in the spring, and there's some concerns there that he had the Peyton Manning surgery, if I'm not mistaken, that might have sapped some of his power. Adrian Beltre is the best player on the team. He's still a great, great third baseman, middle of the order guy who you can trust. Chu looks like, looks like his best days may be behind him, or he could use a bounce back. I do like Leonis Martin at the top of the order. I think Andrus is overrated. We'll see what Odor can do. It's pretty good offensively. Losing Jerickson and Profar, losing the number one prospect in Baseball America 2 years in a row, looks like that kid's career's derailed at this point. That really hurts, and I know Keith was really, really high on him. And
I was.
It's a shame, really. But just not a whole lot to like here. Like, you think best case scenario for them, they have Fielder and Beltre in the middle of the order. They play, 140, 150 games each, and they rake. And, with that, maybe they can finish in third place. But I don't see it. I think this is your last place team. Either one of you guys can chime in.
Yeah, I think they're firmly cemented in the basement of this division. If anything, they might leapfrog Houston, but I don't think so. I think Houston's got a better team. The only other pitcher you didn't mention that I think is halfway decent, Derek Holland. He's coming back. He was actually pretty good before he got hurt, but the whole thing with this team was injury. I don't think I've ever seen a team have that many injuries to that many key players. You know, they lost their whole rotation last year, besides Darvish. And now, the other guys are coming back and Darvish is gone. I mean, they're just screwed. Matt Harrison, he was a good pitcher. He had all kinds of back problems. I don't think, I think he's rehabbing, but after you go through, two or three back surgeries, I can't see you coming back and being able to count on you. They lost another, that Perez kid, the lefty, right? Another one with Tommy John.
Martin Perez.
Yeah, I think that's his name. Yep. Yeah.
And even Feliz. Feliz was had some the best stuff in the league. And he's a shell right now. He's not himself.
It's going to be dark days for Texas this year. But who knows? We'll see. If they Beltre, they got Joey Gallo in the minors, who's going to be the third baseman of the future. So we'll see what they can fetch for Beltre midseason, you know, because I think he's in the last year of his deal, or maybe second to last. But, you know, they could possibly pull off a couple trades and get right back into it next year. But
and you would think they would even as a rental, Beltre would command a good haul.
Yeah. You're talking middle of the order bat, Gold Glove defense. So yeah, he should fetch a nice haul.
Absolutely,
yeah. Rock never has a bad year. You know, he's really a good player, so he could get you something. Like I said, you know, all the injuries, but the real coup de grace was, like you said, Raj, Darvish going down. I mean, one thing losing your number one, but he's beyond your number one. I mean, he's one of the pure aces in baseball, you know, one of the top five or six pitchers in the game. And when you don't have much of a rotation behind him, I mean, that's just a crushing blow. With him, you could say, okay, we have this super ace, one of the super aces in the game, and we got two pretty solid proven guys behind him, and Gallardo and Holland, not either one of them that you want your number one. But if you had Darvish, okay, our rotation, you know, it isn't bad. You know, you got that guy that's going to stop the losing streaks at the top. But now without him, it's like, oh my God. And like you said, you're just hoping for guys to all of a sudden be reborn. You know, Fielder to bounce back from his bad year, Chew to be the Chew he was a couple of years ago. There's just too many things would have to go right for them to be a good team. Profar to really arrive this year. Odor, to really arrive. Reach rookie of the year potential or something. And you've already lost Profar, just another big injury. Yeah, this snake bit. This is a team that, you know, traditionally, too, for a lot of years, was a good team year in, year out. You're one of those teams, one of the haves in baseball. You know, in the game where you have the haves and the have-nots, the Rangers were one of the haves. They were there every year contending, and you kind of just expected it. You knew they were always a big lineup, always. But they've fallen on hard times, you know, and they've really been stricken by the injury bug and all that luck.
I mean, they spent a ton of money, and everybody got hurt. That's exactly what happened.
I mean, no, that's why they're one of the haves, is because they're a team that's always spent money.
Yeah, and what can you do when everybody goes down? You know, it's just
total snake bit. Yeah, it's going to be a long year for the poor Rangers.
Agreed. All right, so everybody's favorite part of the episode here, we're going to give you our picks. I'll go first because I always go last. All right, so my picks for the AL West. First, I'm going to say that at least one wild card, and maybe both wild cards, come out of this division. I know Keith agrees with me.
I don't know. The Central's got some pretty good teams, too.
It does. So, I like Seattle. Oakland. Houston. Los Angeles, Texas. Ooh. Keith.
I'm going to go Seattle in a runaway. Oakland, Anaheim, Houston, Texas.
Senior.
Okay, I'll just put a little different twist on it. I'll join everybody with Seattle, and then I'll go the defending champions, Anaheim, so come in second place and probably be a wild card team with that lineup. And Oakland, Houston, and the Rangers.
All right, fantastic. So we're going to take a break here. When we return, we'll discuss some more baseball. So if you're a fan of pop culture, fan of wrestling, sports fan, Place to Be Nation, place you want to be. We have a number of other podcasts, a lot of content on the site that you should check out, and that'll be gone over for you in the break. And your boys from the lounge will be back, so Cowboy out for the time being.
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, The Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including The Main Event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN's also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats' RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Chad, do you want your wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of a 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber.
The Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brainbuster with
Johnny Sorrow.
We have a host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
where the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW supercards.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. It's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
La, la, la. A young nigga screaming, fuck the world and let him die. Behind tents trying to duck the world and smoke and ride. Got my bandana around my head and pants to my feet. And got my eyes fire red and black on my seat. I'm trying to stay under intoxication, cause I lost my phone and got a daughter, plus I'm on probation. I'm drinking liquor like it's water, getting pissed and drunk, and staying away from them LeBrons, they trying to get me stoned. I keep a chop in the trunk, get my heat on my waistline, ducking the law, cause I ain't trying to do no bedtime. Sometimes I just wish I could be away, but I gotta take care of Janae and keep me sleeping straight. So I just maintain the struggle and I keep trying. But how can I when my closest people keep dying? I ain't lying at the law trying to bust my click, but I scream fuck the world, man, I'm too young for this. Yo. Look, I don't curse, but in this verse, man, fuck the world. I lost my father to the gun and made a little girl, and I'm still thugging with my niggas trying to keep it real, and I'm still doing for my mother and I'm paying bills. Look, I don't curse, but in this verse, man, fuck the world. I lost my father to the gun and made a little girl, and I'm still thugging with my niggas trying to keep it. And I'm still doing for my mother and I'm paying bills. Give me a cigarette, my nerves bad. The fifth city heard that I know.
Hello, folks, welcome back to the Sports Lounge. Hope you enjoyed the break. I know Keith Senior and myself enjoyed the break. Sports Lounge is still rocking, and we're gonna dive right into the NL East. So again, Season kicks off on Sunday with the bulk of the games on Monday. So this will be up on the site on Monday. So everybody who's listening, hope you're ready for baseball tonight, back in full swing. So we're excited here in the lounge, because the good thing about baseball is you can come to the lounge pretty much every night and watch baseball, as opposed to just once or twice a week with football. So it's good stuff. It's good stuff. So taking a look at the NL East, give you the last year's breakdown as we do. Really a one horse race in this division. You had the Nationals winning the division with the best record in not only the East, but the tied for the second best winning percentage in baseball, identical record to your Baltimore Orioles, 96-66. Followed by the Mets and the Braves, 17 games out each. The Marlins at 19 back, and the Phillies bringing up the ass at 23 back. So we'll dive right in here. Nationals, you know, the Nationals, as I said, won the division easy last year, and they certainly improved in the offseason. One big acquisition in particular makes them look like a real scary group this year. So I'm going to kick it right over to Keith to give us his thoughts.
Well, I mean, what can you say about this team? But you might see a 100-win team this year if that rotation stays healthy. They have four legitimate number one starters for any team. Scherzer, Strasburg, Jordan Zimmerman, Gio Gonzalez. And then their number five pitcher is Doug Fister, which he's a pretty good pitcher himself. I mean, they got a good bullpen, and they have a great offense. I could see this team winning 100 games. They're starting with their starting center fielder, starting left fielder, and starting third baseman on the DL, and I don't think they're not even worried about it. This team is stacked, and just watch, everybody else is playing for a wild card spot in this division, in my opinion. Cowboy, senior?
Yeah, I mean, that rotation is the envy of baseball. That's really what makes them, to me, the best team in baseball, is that rotation. I mean, if you have a discussion of who the best pitcher in baseball is, most people will start with Kershaw, but guys whose names can be in that discussion, you got two of them right at the top of that rotation, and Scherzer and Strasburg, and then Zimmerman would be a number one on a whole lot of teams in baseball. So would Gio, who he's kind of a guy who doesn't get a lot of pub because he's overshadowed a bit in that rotation, but he's just a real solid left-hander. They're one lefty, and probably, arguably the best curveball in the game. And then, yeah, a guy as solid as Fister. You got a kid like Tanner Roark who would be in any other rotation. The poor bugger can't crack this starting rotation. I mean, yeah, it's just so, so good. And nice bullpen to go with it, backing it up, no doubt about it. I like Drew Storen as the closer, and I like all the guys that set him up. And then you can add Roark to that group, really, as part of the bullpen. Nice young lineup, a lot of good hitters. Kind of an under-the-radar. No, there's really nothing under the radar. They're just real solid, solid team through and through. A lot of pop in the lineup. Guys that'll set the table and get on base. It's just everything you want. A guy who, you know, we think of as a veteran because he's been around quite a bit, Bryce Harper, who, if he could ever have a year where he stayed healthy all year, who knows what kind of numbers this kid could put up. Who knows if we've really seen the best of what Bryce Harper can be. He's really still a baby.
He's only, what, 23 maybe? 23 years old?
One of the real power-hitting shortstops in the game, and Desmond. If anything you want to question on this team could be the health thing. I mean, what I said about Harper, that's the one weakness he's shown, is that he hasn't been super durable. Worth seems to get dinged up every year. Rendon starting the year injured. Ryan Zimmerman has had his share of injuries. So the guy's in the lineup. But the lineup doesn't have to produce a whole lot with this pitching staff. I mean, you're searching for a weakness, saying that the durability of the guy and the guys in the lineup. I mean, on paper, mainly because of the rotation, but all in all, if you look at the big picture, whole team on paper, it's the best team in baseball, pretty much hands down. I think it's hard to argue. Doesn't mean you're going to win the World Series, because you know how anything can happen in a short series, but to go into a short series with these arms now, I mean, this rotation was stacked enough last year, and you add Max Scherzer, one of the top four or five pitchers in the game, so trying to beat a team like that in a short series is going to be a tall order, too. As far as I'm concerned, they're clearly the odds-on favorite to win the whole thing this year. Yeah. You want to add to that, Cowboy?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think the Dodgers, we'll talk about them, but I think the Dodgers stack up pretty well. I mean, the pitching staff is out of this world. It was already good, and you add Max Scherzer, who, you know, capable of winning a Cy Young any year. So, obviously, the pitching staff is fantastic. The lineup has some question marks, but with both injuries and production, really. I mean, Bryce Harper, I don't think of him as a veteran at all. I mean, he's just a kid who hasn't, you know, a lot of natural talent, but hasn't really put it together yet, and has been a bit of a, you don't want to say a disappointment because he's so young, but hasn't quite lived up to those lofty expectations of him. Now, with that said, he's a guy who the light could just click on and he could put together, and I mean, he has the tools to put together an MVP type of season. But it could go the other way, too, right? So there are some question marks in the lineup, because if he doesn't produce like he's supposed to, Ryan Zimmerman's always hurt. I mean, he hasn't been able to put together a full season in a good long while. Rendon was very good last year, starting the year, like Keith said, injured. Is he as good as he showed last year? I mean, particularly, he flashed speed and stolen bases specifically last year that he never flashed at any level. So is that an outlier? Is he really that guy? Worth, another very talented guy who has trouble staying on the field. I like Ian Desmond in a contract year. He's a very productive shortstop, but I mean, there are scenarios where this lineup is very, very weak, and it's tough for me to call a team hands down the best team in baseball with a lineup that could potentially be a little spaghetti batty, for lack of a better word. But I agree that they're the class of the division. I don't think of them as a lock for the World Series or anything. But we shall see. We shall see. So, Keith, what do you think of Harper? Do you agree with my assessment there that if he puts it together, the tools are there for, you know, top five player in baseball? But the downside, he's got a wide range to me of possible outcomes. You don't really know what you're going to get.
This kid's a budding superstar. You know, he basically went through his progressions in the major leagues rather than in the minors. You know, if you remember, he came up, but he was, I think he was 20,
he was,
maybe even 19 when he came up. So, you know, I mean, this kid's got, I think, four home runs last year in the playoffs. So he's starting to come around. I mean, the health thing, that's a concern. And I think it's just the fact that he'll run through a wall for a fly ball. You know, he's that kind of guy. But I see him emerging as a top 10 player in the league sooner rather than later. It's coming. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world. They got a prospect, kid Michael Taylor. He's going to be the starting center fielder on the opening day roster because the regular guys hurt. They're not spanned. That kid's, so far in the spring anyway, sitting over 300, got a couple of home runs. Looks like he could be a pretty good player himself. And Ryan Zimmerman, yeah, he's always hurt, but the move to first base is going to help him. Just, you know, playing third base, it beats the shit out of you. I mean, first base is, not to say anybody can play first, but that's usually where you put the old man, right? But I don't know about I think you're reaching a little for a hole in this lineup. This lineup is pretty damn good.
And say we're saying Harper 23. I just kind of looked it up quickly. He's 22. He won't be 23 this season. He won't be 23 till October 16th. He's already played seasons in the major leagues. I mean, a lot of guys right now, he could be the Chris Bryant. He could be, at his age, he could be the suspect everybody's talking about. He's only 22. Yeah. He's a baby. How good this kid's going to be, the sky's the limit, really. I mean, we already know he's, you know, to handle major league pitching. And, yes, he could put together he's just a baby. He's at the age of a prospect, and he's got 3 full years experience. I mean, just a super talent, no doubt about it.
Hey, next up, New York Metropolitans. We'll go with the Mets first for Scott Criscolo. Big Mets guy. They have some pennants hanging up, some Mets pennants hanging up in the ice cream truck over on the extra point. But what do you think of the Mets?
Well, I mean, when you talk about the Mets, you're going to start at the same place as we did with the Nationals. You start with their starting pitching. They do have very good starting pitching. You got to give the Mets that. There's no question about it. Matt Harvey coming off Tommy John surgery has really looked good this spring. He looks like he's going to be one of those stories of a guy who comes back. I mean, there's always the question of most guys that first year back aren't quite as good as they're going to be the second year after Tommy John. But, I mean, he was dominant before he had the injuries, and he was the talk of baseball, and he looks like he's ready to get up and go again. And I really like Jacob DeGrom, too. So in those two, you have two really, really good young pitchers. After that, you can say that, especially now without Zach Wheeler, that you can say that their rotation does have some question marks. I mean, Jonathan Neese is what he is. He's a solid lefty. He usually keeps his ERA under 4. And he'll go out there for it, take the ball every fifth day and be solid. Bartolo Colon just keeps kind of rolling along. It's hard to believe that he's pitching opening day, but yes, Bartolo Colon is pitching opening day, and I don't know if it's PEDs or whatever, but the guy's career just keeps going. And you know, we all make fun of him, the fat guy and all that, but he tends to be pretty solid for the most part for as long as he can hold up. Still throwing hard. I mean, he's one of those guys that threw harder even as he got older all of a sudden, and that's what makes you suspicious. And he's also, I think, he's tested positive for. Dylan G's a guy who's teased you a little bit, and that's, I tell you, for the back end of a rotation, for if you're going to call him the number 5, that's not bad. So it's a decent rotation, no doubt about that. And the lineup has, it's not a lineup that scares the life out of you, but you got some players in it. You know, David Wright is David Wright. Not a ton of power, but a good, solid hitter, and a real good, great clubhouse guy, great team leader, the kind of guy you want on your team. Daniel Murphy, I don't know, I think he's having some health issues right now, but is one of their better hitters also. Then Michael Kadire is one of those guys that nobody thinks a whole lot of, but all he does is hit every year, no matter where he plays, no matter what uniform he puts on. I believe just the year before last, he won the batting title, so... Yeah, and they got the old Grandy man, who's, I think, is also dinged up right now. You got Lucas Duda, who can tease you with his power. So they got some. The lineup doesn't scare the life out of you, but they could potentially score some runs with a good pitching staff. I see the Mets as a team that's like a 500 club. I don't know how you guys feel, if that's a good assessment.
Well, I think they might. They might be in a wild card consideration here. That I do like their rotation. Harvey and DeGrom, like you stated, that's a great 1-2. Colon, he just keeps doing it. Smoking mirrors, call it what you want. He won 15 games last year. I don't know how. Guy throws 75% fastballs, and he's still getting people out. I mean, there's something to say about location, command, you know, throwing the ball where you want it.
Yeah, Justin Verlander should maybe go and train with him.
Well, he's going to have to change the way he pitches, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, Colon has, and it's been successful.
Yeah, he used to be a power pitcher, 98 miles an hour, blow you away. But now, I mean, he's probably throwing 92, and he's still getting swings and misses, though. I mean, that's something to say, that, you know, the way you can change the way you pitch, Pedro-esque, Well, wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. I don't want to put him in the same breath with Pedro, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Tim Hudson. Like Tim Hudson's a good guy.
There you go. That's a good comparison. Nice last year, like, yeah, a 3.40 ERA. That's actually not too bad for a number four pitcher. And Dylan G's pretty good as a five. They also got Noah Syndergaard in the minors waiting to come up. He was the big pitcher they got for R.A. Dickey in that trade. He'll probably be up if either G gets traded or there's some sort of injury. You'll probably see Syndergaard in there. Their lineup, it's a hell of a lot better than it was last year, man. A hell of a lot better. Lagares is Gold Glove center fielder. They just locked up. He seems to be getting a little better. He's going to be their leadoff hitter. Grandy's going to be in the two hole. I mean, you know what you can expect from them. You know, a 260 batting average with, you know, 20, 25 homers. Duda blossomed last year. He's got some legit power. Daniel Murphy's a professional hitter. You know, he's going to hit close to 300. I mean, not going to blow you away with power numbers or anything, but he's a great contact hitter. That shortstop I kind of like, Wilmer Flores. Again, good contact guy. You know, he's probably not going to make the All-Star team, but he's a lot better than Ruben Tejada, that's for sure. And David Wright seems to be healthy again. Last year he was bugged by, I think, a shoulder injury. And that completely sapped his power. I think he hit, like, 8 home runs last year or something like that. And the addition of Kadaya, like you said, senior, this guy just hits. That he just flat out hits. And he did win the batting title 2 years ago in Colorado. But yeah, I think their lineup can actually compete now, score some runs. And with that pitching staff, they're going to be in it. They'll be in the wild card mix.
Yeah, a guy you didn't mention who I like and have pretty high hopes for is Darnold. He was very good in the second half of last season, and he's got some pop, and he's just a kid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're looking for a path for them to the wild card, I think another step up from him, Duda showing that it wasn't, you know, he hit 30 home runs, showing that that wasn't a fluke, and he is a true middle-of-the-order power hitter. Healthy David Wright, to your point, and a dominant, if you get the Matt Harvey from before the injury, then those things happen, and this could very well be a wild card team. And yep. I don't think those things are out of the realm of possibility at all. So, you know, I mean, we really lit these guys up last year. So things are looking up over in New York for the Mets. So we're happy for them.
Yeah, little mea culpa. I think I called Sandy Alderson a donkey last year or something. I said he's the worst GM in baseball. So I'm sorry. Pitching staff's looking pretty good.
But, I mean, they lucked out. I mean, DeGrom's very good, right? And, you know, Harvey, to Senior's point, Harvey looks like, I mean, you know, you can't really, sometimes the spring can be a little bit of a mirage, but he looks like he's pretty much all the way back. And, you know, you got to remember how dominant he was. I mean, he was you talk about Kershaw, you talk about Scherzer, you talk about Felix Hernandez. He was every bit as good as those guys before the injury. So exciting times. I would really like for them to have Zach Wheeler in that rotation. It would have taken it from above average to almost elite. You know, if you're bumping, you're bumping a guy like G or Fallon, or if Cologne falls off the map, you're bumping one of them into the pen. That's a good rotation. So, see what happens.
Did Pianod come with Syndergaard in the RAD?
Yeah, Darnold. He was him and yes, I'm 99% sure of that. Yes, so decent little haul for RA.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Considering what RA turned into. Again, not a terrible pitcher, but certainly not the Cy Young guy that they traded.
No.
That was a perfect sell high. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next up we have the Atlanta Braves. Oh, the Braves. Oh, the Braves. You always think they're going to be in it, you know, just because they always are. And, you know, it all kind of came crashing down last year. And I'll take this one. I don't like what I see at all. That lineup, I think, I mean, it's possibly, it might be the worst lineup in baseball. It is bad. I mean, because they didn't hit last year, and they've gotten like appreciably worse, in my opinion. You know, you lose Upton, right? That obviously hurts. They didn't have a lineup. I'm not talking about Melvin either. I'm talking about Justin. But I mean, there's exactly one hitter in this lineup who scares you, and he's very good, Freddie Freeman. But I question how much he's going to be able to produce with just zero protection. I mean, there's nobody else. Markakis is the second best hitter on the team, and I mean, he is average. He is an average outfielder. Like, if you type in put average outfielder in the dictionary, Nick Markakis' picture pops up. You know, Eric Young Jr., kind of a speed guy who has trouble getting on base. That's not great. Andrelton Simmons, Chris Johnson. I mean, they batted him cleanup a lot last year, and he's not very good. It's rough. They do have a good rotation, you know, at least at the top. Teron is a very, very good pitcher. Alex Wood, I think, could take a step up this year and be a real stud. He's going to be that guy with the 2.2 ERA that only wins 9 games, you know, because of how bad the lineup is. I like Shelby Miller to bounce back from a bit of a rough year last year. I like him. And obviously the back end of the rotation, back end of the bullpen, they have the, you know, consensus best or second best closer in baseball in Kimbrel. But overall, I don't know. I don't see a path for this team to score enough runs to win. I think they're going to lose a lot of 2-1, 3-1 kind of games. Senior.
Yeah, really. I mean, you look at this lineup and it doesn't do much to scare you. Poor Freddie Freeman. I mean, I'm seeing this projected batting order that I'm seeing in places like Sports Illustrated and stuff. And in their batting order, I mean, I don't know if this is really going to be it, but they have in the 5-hole, starting in left field, Johnny Gomes. I mean, Johnny Gomes is your number 5 hitter. My God. My God, yeah. There's really nothing there, really. I mean, it's just a bad lineup. I mean, you talked about Markakis. I mean, you put Markakis last year on that Oriole team with a really good lineup, and he's a nice player. Okay, he's a nice complimentary player to have. He's not going to hurt you. He plays a solid outfield. He's a good line drive hitter, a little bit of pop. You know, he's a nice guy. But in a lineup like this, like, you know, they really don't have anything. And it's too bad because the pitching staff is good, you know. I mean, could they, if you look at the offseason move, though, that was their big trade, right? Could they really afford to let Haywood go to get Shelby Miller, you know, to get your number 3 starter when you're going to be starting Johnny Gomes in your outfield? I mean, does that make any sense when you were already losing Upton? But, I mean, yeah, the rotation's good. You didn't mention the bullpen, obviously, kind of a waste, but you got who a lot of people think is the best closer in baseball, and Kimbrel, and they've got Grilly out there. They've got a good bullpen. They're going to pitch, but they're just not going to be able to score enough runs. I totally agree with you there, Cowboy.
Would you space me out there, Senior? I talked about Kimbrel.
No, okay.
Yeah, you got to listen. I mean, I know my takes are not very good, but you should at least listen to them.
Okay, you acknowledge Kimbrel. Okay, but it is kind of a waste to have a great closer on a bad team. You know, I mean, how many wins is he going to get to close out? You know,
they were in a tough spot. I don't kill them for Haywood because they don't want to pay Haywood. Keith, I'm right about that, right? I mean, he's going to he wants big money, and I mean, he's a, you know, another
put up big huge money numbers. No,
Uber prospect, but he's going to commit. Someone's going to pay him. So they did the get out a year early thing, and then they got a quality starter in return. I don't kill him.
He's a good solid pitcher. Okay, I agree with that.
But I mean, to your point, I mean, if there's a team out there that probably should overpay Jason Haywood, maybe it's the Braves. You know, but you know, I guess the thought is to tread water this year and spend the money somewhere else in the off season. I mean, because this can't be this. Maybe Keith can tell us something about what they have coming up through the farm system. But this lineup can't be the long term plan.
No, this is classic rebuild. I mean, they got a new GM in John Hott, And he basically came in and cleaned house. You know, Upton, Haywood, Gaddis, they traded. They completely overhauled the entire roster. Now, last season, this team was sort of on the same lines as the Rangers. They got struck with the Tommy John bug. Brandon Beachy, Chris Medlin, and there was one other good starter. It might have even been Mike Minor last year. All three, like right before the season started, went under the knife, which, you know, kind of killed their season last year. Tayron was slated to be their number four or five last year. Now he's their ace. You know, all those pitchers got hurt. So, but like you said, the pitching staff is going to go wherever this team goes, the staff is going to have to lead them. Because like you said, this might be the worst lineup in baseball. Markakis and Haywood, honestly, so Haywood obviously has a higher ceiling. Markakis puts up similar numbers to Jason Haywood. Now, Haywood, like I said, he has the ceiling. He could potentially bust out like we were talking about with Bryce Harper because he's still a kid too. He's only like 25. But, yeah, they got Shelby Miller for Haywood and then signed Markakis. I think that was actually a pretty good deal there. Justin Upton, I don't even know what they got for him. But maybe there was a problem in the clubhouse with the two brothers together. I think they traded the wrong one, but
BJ or Melvin is completely untradeable because of his contract. And he's been so bad. I mean, it's a good case study to see that a move when they signed him, it didn't seem, it's like, okay, well maybe you overpaid a little, but signing him to that deal, like, really hamstrung them because he's just been so awful. I mean, he can't bat. He doesn't bat over 200. I mean, he's so bad.
He wasn't that bad before they signed him. I mean, what the heck happened to that guy? I'm not saying he was a great average hitter, but, you know, it wasn't a joke. You know, you weren't looking at B.J. Upton's average and saying, oh, my God, is he going to hit 200 this year, which is basically what we've looked at since he's been on the Braves. I mean, he really took a step back.
You hate to say it. You hate to say it, but I mean, but we're not here to question. It's always a little bit shaky to me when someone signs a big deal and then goes directly into the tank. It makes you think, is this guy really, how committed is this guy? Right. Is he working it as hard now that he got paid? You know,
right? He's fat and happy now.
Right. So if he busts out again next year, which I believe is the last year of that deal, then I would not be the next team to sign him.
the only saving grace for him, he does play a really good center field. He's very speedy, covers a lot of ground.
Oh, yeah. He's got
cannon for an arm. But
he was the number one overall pick of the draft, right? Wasn't he? I believe he was the number one or the number two overall pick of the draft. I mean, he was Jason Hayward 10 years ago. And
if he would have at least hit, you know, 15 to 20 home runs, maybe they would have lived with that very low average he had. But he's not even doing that. He's not even hitting for power.
And he's not getting on base enough to steal. I mean, he's a great base stealer, but he is just not on there enough.
I think he had some vision problems. Isn't he wearing glasses?
He was last year.
He was wearing glasses towards the end of last year, right? So
I don't know if it was some kind of a gimmick by him, though, to just try to do something different, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Glasses, and he still couldn't hit, you know?
Now he changed his name back. He changed his name to Melvin, so we'll see if that works.
Yeah, we're trying anything, yeah.
But he's hurt, right, if I'm not mistaken? He's already hurt.
Yeah, he's starting on the DL, but he's got a shoulder tightness, I think it is. But hey, we'll see. You never know. It's not like he's 35 years old. He's under 30, I know that. So.
Yeah, he's still relatively young, but I mean,
But even if he comes back and hits 270 with 20 home runs, this lineup's still going to suck.
Right, and I mean,
you know,
Trent Richardson rushes for 1,200 yards before B.J. Upton hits 270. I think they would take 220 with 15 home runs and 15 steals, and if you told them that right now, they would take it in a second. They would take it in a second. He's been that bad.
But this is the classic rebuild. They know they're not going to contend this year, and We'll see. I'm not too familiar with their with the Miners, with the Braves. I'll have to dig into that.
What do you think of Wood? Do you like Wood as much as I do? Alex Wood, that is.
He's a pretty good pitcher. He's pretty good. I mean, going back to last year, I think he was the number 4 or 5. That's how good that staff was supposed to be last year. So, yeah, no, he's a very good pitcher.
I think, yeah, I'm calling my shot here. He reminds me of a young Greg Maddux. I think he's really, really going to step up this year. And
right.
I think he's going to, when you talk about the top 5 or 6 pitchers in baseball going into next season, I think he's going to be one of them. So we'll see.
Oh.
Just my take.
Well, if he's that good, then you pair him with De'Ron, they won't have to score that many runs, at least when those two pitch.
Twice a week. All right, next the up.
Weird thing, I was going to comment on Wood. From watching him, the thing that if you watch him, is his delivery is really odd-looking, and you say, okay, well, this guy's probably control is an issue. He doesn't throw super hard, but he's real smart, and he's got, like you said, he's got pinpoint control, even though he looks really weird doing it. You know, if you look at the guy, you'd never think that he's this controlled pitcher. He doesn't have this classic-looking delivery. It's really kind of, he's kind of a funky guy to watch, but he does have pinpoint control. He's a really nice pitcher.
Thank you, Senior. Next up, if anybody's going to, who would have thought this? But I think you guys will agree, if anybody is going to challenge Washington in this division, there's only one team that really has the ability to do it, and that's your Miami Marlins. And it's a stretch. Mm-hmm. I know it's a little bit of a stretch, but
yeah,
they do have they have the talent and the star power, and if it all comes together, and if the Nationals, if that injury bug hits a little bit, and Bryce Harper is not what we think he's going to be, it's not out of the realm of possibility, whereas the other three teams, I think it is. So, Keith, give us your take on the Marlins.
Well, they obviously, they're serious about winning. $325 million they gave to Giancarlo Stanton, which personally, as a Red Sox fan, made me very upset because I thought he was going to get traded there. But no, their lineup is going to score some runs. Traded for D. Gordon, going to be the table setter. Yelich is an up-and-coming outfielder who they also locked up. Stan, obviously. I mean, this guy's got the most power on the planet. Marcell Ozuna is another power-hitting center fielder. They got big Mike Moss playing first base now instead of the outfield, so maybe he can stay healthy. Martin Prado, I love that trade. The solid third baseman. Again, not going to make the All-Star team, but solid. You know what you're going to get from him. 280, 10 homers, 60 RBI. Echivarra at short. Yeah, right. The rotation, this is what's going to either make or break the Marlins, because you know they're going to hit. Henderson Alvarez, their opening day starter right now. He's a good pitcher. I don't know if he's an ace. Latos, his velocity is down. I think that's why Cincinnati kicked him. But you never know. He's still got the potential. If he can refine the way he pitches, he could definitely win some games. Jared Cozart, I like him. Dan Haran, he's a innings eater. Jose Fernandez, we'll see how he comes back. When he comes back, and if he's the same Jose Fernandez, now you're in the conversation. But this pitching staff, that's it. All lies on them, because they are definitely going to score a lot of runs.
Yeah, absolutely. Kohler isn't too bad either as a fifth starter. I mean, it's not a staff that scares the heck out of you. But to your point, I mean, position for position, I think their lineup is better than the Nationals. I mean, I think it's tough to argue that. Also, position for position, for the most part, they have guys who tend to stay healthy. Mike Morse, I think, is a big key for them, because if he stays healthy, and then in this lineup, I mean, he's got real 40 home run power, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's an ox.
If he can do something like that, I mean, Stanton's a mortal lock for 40 home runs if he stays healthy, right? Ozuna,
yep.
Ozuna's going to hit 25. If you can add another 40 home run guy there in Morse, you're going to have, D. Gordon, He's another guy, another speed guy who I, you know, doesn't really take walks. And those guys kind of chap my ass. I don't like it, but he's good. He's a good player, and you know, he's a better hitter than a guy like Eric Young Jr. So he's going to be on base. Martin Prado, perfect kind of guy for this kind of, for this lineup. And then I look, and Yelich is a good table setter as well. But I look at them, and I just can't help but think about what the blueprint has been for this franchise, which is just to be god awful until the year that they're not, and then they win the World Series. You know what I mean? Yep. They've done it twice, and this is their play. This is their play. They're going for it now, and I think how where they sit in the standings is going to have a lot of impact on how they handle Jose Fernandez. If they're really contending, he'll be back. Right, and they'll try to get him back as quickly as they can. That's not irresponsible. If they're not contending, I don't think he'll pitch this year. You know, it's like I think it's one of those. Or if he does, it'll be token, real kid gloves. But to your point, I mean, if they're contending and they add him, he's supposed to come back. Is it late July, Keith?
Something around there, yeah.
Yeah. If they're in contention and you add that kid in late July and he's 80% of Jose Fernandez, I mean, you could, they could make a run. I like the moves that they made, and I like that they locked up Stanton. I mean, if you're a Marlins fan, I mean, you gotta be happy with what they've done, right? You know, they went from just being, you know, blatantly tanking and trading all their best players all the time to, you know, making a move. You got anything to add here on them, Senior? You high on the Marlins?
Sure. A few things that stand out. Obviously, best young outfield in baseball. You got to say that. Stanton, Ozuna, and Yelich. I mean, you can't say enough about Stanton. You know, the big young power hitter in baseball. I think Yelich is more than just a good little table setter. I think he's really got a nice knowledge of the strike zone. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I think Yelich is batting title capable. I think he's that good. Yeah, I think really good hitter, and Ozuna's a good guy. And the little adds that they made, the little veteran additions, one of them that nobody's mentioned, you know, it's the best young outfield in baseball. Well, why not bring in a guy as a veteran who's probably going to be the best fourth outfielder in the game because it's perfect to fit with these guys in Ichiro. I mean, what a nice little addition that was. For sure, number one, show these guys the ropes. Number two, if any one of the three goes down for a little while, it's not a bad guy to have in who can come in and give you a good few weeks or a month. He's not going to hurt you, that's for sure, offensively or defensively. The other veteran addition that you guys talked about, Prado, is, you know, you got a young team, nice kind of guy to have. And Morse, another veteran who fits nicely into this lineup, who's going to get to see a lot of good pitches to hit. Probably going to have some guys on base in front of him, too, and his home runs are going to turn into RBIs. So you got to like that a lot. So there's a lot to like about this team. Pete Gordon, to me, is a big question mark. If he's the D. Gordon from the first half of last year, man, you put him and Yelich at the top of that order, and they'll be dynamite. If you remember how bad D. Gordon was in the second half of last year, if he's that guy, then that's just a huge difference. His season last year was really a major tale of two halves. Very, very good in the first half, awful in the second half. They weren't happy with Salty's defense last year, so that's something that, especially with the kind of a young staff, not totally young, but and when Fernandez comes back, I mean, obviously he's the key. He's the guy that can be the stud, but Alvarez, Kohler, some young guys, you want to have a good receiver back there, and hopefully Salty can improve on that. This team is loaded with potential. If things break right for this team, they could be really, really good. And definitely the future is extremely bright for them. You know, as you say, if you're a Marlins fan, you're pretty excited. This team's opened the wallet. They've got great young talent. They're going to be a real exciting team down there. And you can't help but like the Marlins.
You know, they took a pretty big hit the other day, Aaron Crow, who they got from the Royals.
Good.
He's
setup,
gonna have belt. Yeah, out for Tommy John surgery, so that's gonna hurt the bullpen, but yeah, I think this team and the Mets will battle it out, you know, up the top of the second place of this division, fighting for a wild card spot. That's where I see them.
All right. last and certainly least, we have your Philadelphia Phillies. I can't say enough bad things about them. So, senior, why don't you start off? Tell, you know, maybe try to throw a positive spin on anything, and then me and Keith can lay into them.
You give me that challenge, putting a positive spin on this team, the Phillies. You know, I mean, it's obvious that this isn't a year that they're going to contend. So some things really don't make sense to me. The battle going on for their right field job right now, they're saying it looks like Grady Sizemore is winning it. I mean, what benefit is it to the Phillies, who are in, let's face it, are in clear rebuilding mode, to play Grady Sizemore in right field? It makes absolutely no sense to me. And I'm going to take a little shot at Ruben Amaro here. I mean, they tried. I'm sure they got some decent offers for Cole Hamels, but he's got the reputation of being impossible to deal with and asking for way too much. You know, is he smart, and is he going to get more at the trade deadline if he trades him then? I don't know. I think teams would be willing to give just as much now. They'd like, you know, I mean, he's a guy that has value. Whoever traded for him, I believe, would have him under their command for another 4 years. Very good pitcher. He's proven he could do it in the offseason, in the postseason. So you gather some young talent for this guy. I mean, what's the point of having him on this team? I really don't get it. So I'm not a Ruben Amaro fan. Maybe he's going to prove me wrong and get this big King's ransom above and beyond for him. But I don't think so. I think he's going to end out, maybe they'll end up caving and trading him at the trade deadline and not even getting what they could have got for him at the beginning of the year. I don't know. No, there's really nothing to like about this team. I mean, you look at it, what do you like? Ryan Howard saying he's in the best shape of his career, and he's, how good is he going to be? Jay Sutley clearly on the back nine, heading for the clubhouse. I don't know. There's really, you got Ben Revere playing, starting in the outfield, a speedy guy, to set the table for what in that lineup, you know. Cody Ash, maybe a decent young third baseman. I mean, the rotation after Hamels, Harang, guys like Harang and Jerome Williams. I mean, it's a sad team. It's a last place team. You wanted me to put a positive spin on them, but I can't. Maybe Keith is good at finding positives. Find us the positive, Phillies.
You want a positive? There's one positive. Cole Hamels. That's it.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Maybe Chase Utley. You know, Chase Utley will probably fetch them a decent return because somebody could use that bat, that left-handed, you know, I don't want to call it a power bat, but good second baseman. I said it yesterday. I think maybe Anaheim might be interested in Chase Utley if Giovatella doesn't do anything good. Papelbon, they should trade all these guys. Papelbon, Utley, Howard, and Hamels. You said the rotation behind Hamels is it's garbage. Batting practice pitches. That's what these guys are. I watched Jerome Williams twice this spring, and I swear he was throwing batting practice. He was getting lit up by minor league players, never mind the major league players. The outfield, this is the worst outfield I've ever seen in my life. Combined, I don't think they have 10 home runs in the major leagues last year in that outfield. Right up the road here in Pawtucket, we have, I swear the Pawtucket Red Sox would challenge this team. Could probably win more major league games than the Phillies could. I believe that. This is an awful team. And Ruben Amaro, wow. What I need not say anymore. This team is awful.
All right. So yeah, I'm not a big fan either. I mean, Keith, they do have Dominic Brown, who he's going to start the season on the DL, but he hit 13 home runs last year, I believe. You remember that stretch he had where he hit? What did he hit? Double digit home runs in a month 2 years ago. But when you looked at it, like he had the lowest average home run distance like in the history of the major leagues. So it's just like
I mean
outlier. he's not very good. So I just you look at like what a team like the Astros did, or what a team like the Braves is doing this year, and they know they're in rebuilding mode. And Amaro, yeah. I don't know if he thinks that things are going to break the right way and they can contend. I mean, they it just doesn't make any sense. Like, I mean, as bad as like Aaron Harang and Jerome Williams are, why are they in? Why would you bring them in? You got to. I mean, they're veterans, right? You got to pay them more than you pay younger guys. Given how piss poor they're going to be, they have to have some young arms somewhere in the system that they want to get major league experience for, right? What is the point of having a guy like Harang or Williams?
If they do have young arms in the system, they probably don't want to stop their clock. You know, as far as
starting
to pay, you know, arbitration and all that stuff. I can't think of anything. I mean, you know, the difference between them and like what the Astros did. The Astros dumped all their payroll. They still have a pretty high payroll. I don't know what the number is.
Oh,
but
definitely.
It's got to be like 150.
Well, those four guys
Howard makes a ton. Upley, Hamels, Cliff Lee. Those guys all make a ton of money.
Those four guys you mentioned and Cliff Lee have to make 70 or 80 just between them, right? I mean, maybe more.
Yeah.
And I get losing Cliff Lee hurts. They weren't going to contend with him anyway. And I mean, I think what happened to Cliff Lee makes Amaro look like even more of an idiot. I mean, he's playing this game of chicken with Hamels. Well, what if Hamels goes down? I mean, he hasn't been the most healthy guy through his career. If he goes down, you're not going to get anything for him, you know?
Right.
And it's, I don't know. I know that as Senior said, I mean, with his reputation, they've gotten some decent offers, and I don't know why he doesn't take them. And Papelbon, what the hell is the point of having him on this team? There's no point at all, right? They're a joke. Ruben Amaro. They're the worst run organization in Major League Baseball, and I feel sorry for the people of Philadelphia.
Yep.
Here we go. I'll give you three names that we can name in one sentence for similarities here. Matt Millen, Isaiah Thomas, Ruben Amaro. He's joined the club as the worst GMs in the history of professional sports.
Yep. There you go. That's a great comparison, Senior. Great comparison. Man, those other guys were bad. Isaiah Thomas, I think, is on a planet of his own for reasons we'll discuss some other time. But it was All right, so now for everybody's favorite part of the Sports Lounge, you're going to get our predictions. I went first during the first segment, which means I'll go last this time. So, Senior, what do you got?
Okay, obviously... Number one, what I said about them, it's got to be the Nationals. Number two, I'm going to go with the young Marlins. I'm going to say things are going to break right for this young team. They're going to be a real exciting team, real fun to watch. And the Mets will put up a fight. They're clearly the next best. Then, even though they're not very good, we'll definitely say the Braves will beat out the Phillies. So Braves 4, the Phillies 2.
Man, Senior. I'm going same. I don't have to go last. That's exactly the order I predict. And I also predict the Nationals don't win the division by double-digit games. Throw that in there.
Oh, see. That's what I will say. They will win the division by double-digit. As a matter of fact, I want to predict they win 100 games this year.
All right.
And the Phillies will be at least 30 games behind the Nationals. By the end of the season, 30.
If they win 100,
I'll fill out
more than that.
I'll swap the Mets and the Fish, just to be the contrarian.
All right, so you're going Nationals, Mets, Marlins, Braves, Phillies.
There you go.
All right, very good. So we have two divisions left. We're going to cover those two divisions a little bit after the season starts next week, middle of next week for you guys. Be sure to – there's a part one of this baseball preview that'll be posted at the same time as the segment that you're listening to now, so please listen to that. And enjoy the Final Four. Everybody's going to have already watched the Final Four game, so enjoy Kentucky-Duke tonight. And Great stuff. Can't wait for baseball season. I'm more pumped up than usual for it this year. As a Red Sox fan, I don't think they're going to be in last place again, which is nice. I think there's a lot of real exciting storylines in the major leagues this year, and looking forward to it. So,
yeah.
Senior Keith and I are going to get back to our business here in the lounge, which is, you know, while everybody else is having a good time, we're just face first in the computer, looking up stuff, just sports 24/7. No fun for these guys, so we can bring you this hard hitting analysis.
It's about to go be time to go make it rain.
And if you didn't hear the sarcasm in my voice, you don't know me very well. So for Keith, for Senior, I'm the Cowboy, and I'm out.
We'll make it and we'll hump and sexy. I want to do a little thing with you. I want to do a little thing with you. When I say love me, you say sexy. Love me, sexy,
sexy.
Back it on up and show and prove that loving me sexy is a thing to do. Your body says love me, your mind says sexy. Love me, sexy. Wants to love me sexy.
Love me sexy.
Baby, are you ready to lick me sexy?
Lick me sexy.
Take off your shoes and suck me sexy.
Suck me sexy.
Baby, we'll take it and we'll hump me sexy.
Love me sexy.
Freak of the week, are you in the mood to fly to the stars with Jackie Moon? When I say love me, you say sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Love me, sexy.
Sexy.
My zodiac signs are compatible. Clocking that ass from across the room. Your body says love me, your mind says sexy.
Sexy. Love me, sexy.
Baby, who wants to love me sexy?
Love me sexy.
Baby, are you ready to lick me sexy?
Happening.
Yeah. Too late now. It's on.